And now welcome again to Foreign Press Review, wherein distinguished alien journalists comment on the campaign to date. Today, Thane Cambridge of the Manchester Guardian. Get tough now, Thane. Let us in on what your insights are on this American campaign.
Yes, well, ordinarily the Kennedy, and it rather moving forward, it's a bit of that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's not exactly the same with the Carter, it's in confronting him. It's a confrontation. I would say that the Brown, even as a black belt, is moving forward. It's, uh-huh. it's all this bloody rot, it's a solar power. It's, you can't, you know, is it a freshman or is it stepping forward with the Carter?
I
it's
be,
not going to say the same with Reagan.
Beg
all right,
your pardon?
Just look at the other side.
Uh-huh.
The Republicans were saying, Ford is a great friend of the side, and sits back, and we don't know if it's all straightforward.
No,
no. Oh, Miss Reagan is not good with Bush and the other chap.
Yes.
His name.
Yes.
So I think really, seriously saying, well, perhaps Kennedy has a chance, or it's not. Blah, 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 blah.
Do you really think so?
No, I don't, because I think you have to take into account the fact that the Congress is under the Rose Garden, it's little Amy.
Yeah.
And although she has a bit of the wife's name, I forget it. But anyway,
uh-huh.
And the woman has a certain amount of charm. It's a beautiful creature.
Uh-huh.
You say this with Brown, is what rock and rollers
no,
and all that. But, you know, the Americans will go for it. And I don't think that they have the knowledge or the ability to beat them or even to win in the front run of the Reagan.
You don't.
Because I've seen his movies, and frankly, they leave me cold. Even though it's in England, they're on television all the time. So the chances of you making it, I think, really wouldn't be
good. Really?
Or should lose in Cartwright, Peter's feet, for a surprise winner, the whole lot with Kennedy in the front run. So that's what I see it anyway.
Really?
Very clearly that
that's
way.
That's just brilliant and insightful investigation of the American political scene here on Foreign Press Review.
And
we'll be with you next week at about this same time.
You want to go to a pub?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah, good.
London. They walk again by night. Out of the fog and into the smog. Relentlessly. Ruthlessly.
I wonder where Ruth is.
Doggedly. Toward their naughty meeting with the unknown. At Piccadilly Circus, they turn left.
Hey, you're driving on the wrong side. Hey, you're driving on the wrong side of the road.
Back her off, Yank.
They cross Hyde Park to get their fair share of abuse and walk into a great marble arch.
Oh, my nose.
Groping for the door, they step inside and make their way through the crowded pub. They climb the 13 steps to the tiny stage. They're ready for mystery. They're ready for excitement. They're ready to affect phony British accents.
Because
we're
the Fire Sign Theatre!
And now it's time for that wacky feature, Dinner with Jerry. And we'll take you now to the ex-president's home in Palm Springs, California.
This line, Chateau Zeus, 69.
Thank
have
you,
a little
Mr.
Bit.
President.
Oh, I'm sorry. I spilled some of that on your
pants. My
pants
are already wet.
Oh, all right.
From laughing at your jokes.
Well, Henry, I invited you here for dinner because, as you know, I am running and chewing gum at the same time. For president.
Yes, I know. I came to tell you that.
Yes, I know that.
All right.
Would you like some more gum? Here.
No, thanks.
You can have this one.
I don't
I've
have
already broken
that talent
in.
For eating and chewing gum at the same time. So you, we're stuck together now.
Oh, I'm sorry. It is sticky, isn't it?
It's all right. My hand likes it down here on my wet pants.
If I am elected...
Oh, yes. What are you going to want me to do?
Or let's just say appointed again... I would like you to do what you did before.
Bomb Cambodia.
No, I don't think that's a good idea. There are too many boat people there right
seemed
now.
Seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yes, it was. But I think we ought to come up with some new ideas. Have you got any?
Bomb Iran?
Possibly.
Or just crash some parties around Georgetown.
That sounds like a good idea.
There are some great-looking girls now since Elizabeth Ray has left town.
Have you finished your soup? Perhaps I could move that.
Just spill it right
here. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
This is really good.
Betty?
Oh, is that her name?
Betty?
Yes?
Would you bring in another couple of bottles of wine?
Oh, just a moment, Jerry dear.
I don't think you should trust her with that wine.
Oh, no, it's all right. They're firmly corked and they have seals on them.
Oh, I see. I understand she and Billy Carter have been meeting each other lately.
Listen, let's not stay here at the dinner table. Let's go into the other room. I don't think there's a bug in there.
Okay.
And we can talk more
privately. Would you fall over my chair here while you go past? Thank you, Mr. President.
Now a reply to an NPR commentary. Speaking for the National Surrealist Party, here is George Leroy Tirebiter.
Thank you. Recently, public radio aired a stupid program in which a would-be wit listed those persons who should not be allowed to vote. At first, I was deeply shocked by this proposed denial of the franchise, but as I mused upon the idea, it began to seem a good one, if applied to the right, or should I say, wrong people. Very well, then. Here's my list of political and cultural Three-Mile Islanders who should be barred from the polling booths of America. First, members of the Trilateral Commission and all personal friends of David Rockefeller. Persons over 20 who favor drafting persons under 20. Those of voting age whose favorite TV program is either Fantasy Island or Wall Street Week in Review. Owners of automobiles costing over $10,000. And finally, anyone who really enjoys violent or terrifying motion pictures. This is George Tirebiter for Campoon Chronicle.
This program was brought to you in part by a grant from a large oil company that has just bought a large business machine company.
I don't think you ought to be allowed to vote either.
Now, a reply. And it's time for Know Your Issues on Campaign Chronicles, and today the issue is Iran. And we take you to the briefing room of the State Department, where State Department briefer Peter Savat lets candidate John Connolly know what it's going to be like when he makes his famous peace mission to Tehran.
Well, sir, you did insist on ordering in the language of barbarian. The word for sheep glands is indistinguishable from the word for champagne.
Well, I should have ordered the Diet Cola.
Well, sir, no, then you probably would have been executed. What? You see, the word for Diet Cola is indistinguishable from
welcoming
the word
welcoming to Barbaria, oh, infidel friends. May I be opening your luggage, please?
Well, this is the American ambassador.
Oh, the ambassador. Hooray, hooray. Let's open all his luggage. Oh, look at this nice underwear, Mr. Ambassador. Doesn't it make a fine hat on my head, huh?
It is a gift to you from the American people.
Oh, a gift? Well, let's party. Do you have any whiskey, Mr. Ambassador?
Heavens, no.
Oh, what a shame. Here, have some of mine.
Oh, I accept this on behalf of the American people.
I squeezed it from my own sheep.
On the other hand, we're not allowed.
I could challenge you to a diet. Cola?
No.
How do you say no, Barbara?
Just no.
Oh,
no.
What's this peeking out from under your underwear? It's a bottle of whiskey on my head. Oh, the whiskey what? Head tax here in Barbaria is 1,060 karums.
But you put that bottle of glands
diet
on your head.
Hola?
Just pay it, sir. We're in over our head. What is the exchange rate?
20 to the dollar.
Well, now, what is the purpose of your visit to spy on us?
My good man, this is the new ambassador.
I am here to take over the American embassy.
Oh, that's lots of fun. My club and I do it every week. But you need lots of men with underwear on their head and guns.
You're quite sure, Mr. Connolly, that you want to go through with this and try to free the hostages personally?
Hell yes, I sure am.
Well, all right, sir. First of all, I would advise you not to wear the six-shooter. I think that that might limit your diplomatic effectiveness.
I'll put it in my briefcase, okay?
All right, sir. Yeah. Now, when you arrive in Iran, we have been told that you will be taken to a state dinner where you will meet the Ayatollah Khomeini, and there are some rules which I think you might be wise to observe if you wish to have some effect on the freeing
of the
hostages.
All right, boy, just fire them at me.
Well, all right. This
take
is
notes
what
on the cuff.
The Ayatollah Khomeini's staff sent me. Mm-hmm. There are 11 things to be avoided during meals, eating when you're not hungry, eating too much, watching others while eating things that are too hot. Don't blow on a dish or a glass to cool the food or the drink.
Okay.
Don't start to eat as soon as the bread's been put on the table, and cutting bread with a knife is forbidden. Don't put bread under your plate,
Mr.
Connolly. And cleaning a meat bone so that there's nothing left on it is a no-no.
I love to lick those bones
of
the barbecue.
Not in front of the Ayatollah. Peel fruit, and please don't throw away any half-eaten fruit. Now, the meat of... I know you're a meat eater and a steak raiser and all that.
Right.
The meat of horses, mules, or donkeys is not recommended, and it is strictly forbidden if the animal was sodomized while alive by a man.
In that case, the animal must be taken outside the city and sold. There's one other thing now. You must not drink any wine or alcoholic beverages. It's considered a mortal sin. And indeed, on the day of the resurrection, they believe that the man who is drunk of these things, well, his face will turn black, his tongue will hang out of his mouth, his saliva will run down his chest, and he will remain forever thirsty.
Oh, my! I know some people in Washington look just like that.
Well, if you can, well, observe these particular rules and regulations,
I'll sure avoid
I think
that camel you was talking about.
Yes, that's a good. Oh, and also the nostrils of camels are forbidden, and the excrement and of animals or their nasal secretions. I don't think I have to tell you that, but just in case. But I must say that if they are mixed in minute proportion into other foods, their consumption is not forbidden. So you might inquire as to that at the
how much of it there might be in my steak.
Yes,
mean.
That might be a good point. Well, I don't know about you, but I think the briefing's been going on long enough, and I'm a little hungry. Would you like to join me for a bite?
Why, sure. Let's go, boy.
How about you?
Oh, no. I'm the announcer. I'm not here. All I can do is take you back to Campaign Chronicles.
And it's...
Know your issues. And the issue today, the Olympic boycott. Here's David Osman. David?
Thank you very much. I'd like to introduce my guest on this side of the Atlantic, Bo Beanstick, the famous running, jumping, and what is it?
Land on your head.
Uh-huh.
Run, jump, land on your head.
I thought it was hop, skip, and land on your head.
A hop, skip, and land on your head. I'm a little confused. I'm not used to being interviewed. I'm just used to hopping, skipping, and landing on my head.
Okay, hold it right there, Bo, because let's meet our next visitor and contender.
Here he is, an ex-Washington senator. This fellow is one of the members of the committee, of the Olympic Committee.
Is this my water?
And yes, would you just speak into the microphone, please?
Microphone working?
Nurgi, what is your name, sir?
Nurgi Needleman.
Nurgi Needleman.
Senator Nurgle Needleman.
Right.
Thank you.
He's just one of those wimps on the committee. You
so
can tell by the way he's
chance.
Dressed.
You'll get your chance.
All right, gentlemen,
just don't
please.
Point your
quiet.
Finger at me.
I'm not pointing at you.
I'll hop, jump, and skip on your head.
Yes.
Okay, gentlemen, please. Bo, I think you have an opening statement. What is the basic position of the athlete in your position vis-a-vis the Olympic boycott?
Well, my basic position is hopping, skipping, and
landing
on my head.
So your basic position is upside down, although at some moments you may be in the air or you might be...
I'm home. Not in the air over this issue. The Olympic boycott. I was called in by the president to talk about it, and it's pretty obvious why he doesn't want us athletes to get to Russia,
and
because he's a wimp, because he doesn't have a world-class neck, he doesn't have world-class legs.
Well, excuse me, but
he's not big.
The
he can't understand the passion and the pain of the Olympic athlete.
The thrill of victory, the agony
of
his feet.
The smell of the locker room, the cheer of the crowd, the wealth of the amateur. He doesn't understand what it takes for us to get there. He doesn't want us to get there because he's a politician. And politics and sports don't go together.
Okay,
that man couldn't hop, skip, and land on your head.
Sorry. Okay, fine. Your time is up, and now let's hear from Senator Needlestack. Please.
Sure. Yeah, all right. I think that it's clear. Well, no, let me rephrase that. Perhaps it isn't. That's the problem is it's not clear. Let's say it would be clear, and even then, if the question is raised, should we or shouldn't? I first said we should, and then I said we shouldn't. I think that we should or we shouldn't. My confusion is our nation's confusion. And I'd prefer to be confused in a good issue than in one that I don't believe in at all.
Thank you very much, Senator.
All I want to do is hop, skip, and land on my head.
Stay home.
I challenge Ruski. I challenge any East German man who's really a woman, any East German woman who's really a man to come and hop, skip, and land on his head harder and faster than I do, then they can have the medal. I don't care if they're in Afghanistan. I don't care if they're
in Well, that's time for today for Know Your Issues. We'll be back again next week with one of the important American issues in the 1980 elections.
You don't even know anything about politics.
Would you like to have your feet broken?
Know Your Issues, and the issue today, the Olympic boycott.
I'm Johnny Powell, you know me, and I'm sorry about I spilled some of your grasshopper on you, miss.
Yes,
I'm sorry about that.
Cute, Johnny.
The president will be out here in just a moment. Here comes now President Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
President questions, Jimmy. Now open to questions from the floor.
Mr. Carter, Mr. President.
Mr. President, Arnold Chuzworth here from the Granada Hills Post-Dispatch.
Yes, Arnold.
On the international human rights scene, Mr. President, you oppose America's withdrawal from the 1980 Moscow Olympics as a protest to the conviction and the jailing of Sharansky and a number of other dissidents. Have you changed your mind?
Very glad you asked that. The reason that I'm supporting the position of remaining in the Moscow Olympics is that I believe we must give the dissidents themselves a chance to participate in the Olympics, since the Russians are placing such terrible hurdles in front of the various dissident groups that are trying to leave the country. I believe that the dissidents who have escaped should be allowed to participate in a new high hurdles event, and that's why
no more pictures, please. I'm sorry, I understand that the Jay, no more pictures, please. We understand that the sound of the shutters is disturbing the recording equipment.
Next question.
I'm Sidney Glib of the Bakersfield Sun. Staying with this Russian question, we know there are some pretty high-level disarmament negotiations going on behind the scenes with Brezhnev, and that your national security advisor, Brzezinski, is factoring heavily, so to speak.
What did he say?
Sir, what's his strategy?
Well, I'm going to let Mr. Brzezinski, who's here today at Caesar's Chalice, just got him away from the blackjack table. I'm going to let him speak for himself about this question.
I was playing Russian roulette, actually. I just got off the hot phone, the red phone, the little red phone up in my room with one of the Russian bastards. And basically, we have now a policy statement I'd like to make to you based on what this son of a bitch told me and what kind of compromise the guy come up with. It's a real... And he said, "Я обеспокоился, что с американскими можно сказать шахну в рату. Как если капиталистическая свинья, я бы сказал, что мы можем пробедить не пестовикатик медицинисти, но остопне это просто стечки." So I think that puts it in a nutshell, and that's where they should be. Okay.
Thank you very much. Next.
Mr. President. Mark Markley, the Parkville police racket. Not a group of prominent scientists supposed to use a nuclear power because of the uncertainties on a safe long-term storage of nuclear waste. You've been a faithful supporter of the nuclear energy alternative, and is your position to modify it at all?
I'm very glad you asked that. As you know, I've been supporting the nuclear alternative, and until very recently I was supporting this because I believe that there were safe means for storing the nuclear waste. This was a program begun under Mr. Nixon's regime, or I should say administration. Would you close the door there, please, for security reasons? Thank you very much. The plan was to bury the crap, as it's called, so deeply that we wouldn't be around when it finally surfaced. And in fact, there was an attempt made to bury it all the way down to the other side of the Earth. And as you know, the other side of New Mexico is Somalia. And at that time, Somalia was not a friend of the United States. But now the tables have turned, so we can no longer do that. And so I think I will be changing my position on nuclear storage. Right. Yeah, next question, please.
Mr. President, please. I'm Julia Sinsamia. And in your last press conference, you supported the use of Americans' paraquat defoliant by the Mexican government for the control of marijuana. Could you comment? Oh, that's right. I'm from the High Low Times Anchorage. Something about dope. Could you comment?
Do you understand the question, Mr. President?
Yeah, the paraquat question. Yeah. Yes, well...
A little spaced.
I know, I realize that many people in and out of my administration and on and off the street do occasionally use marijuana, just as I occasionally will go for a glass of chilled white Georgian wine when I'm a little nervous. And I feel that both of us should be willing to run the risk if we have to use cyanide, for example, to defoliate the shall we call them, bootleg vineyards in southern France that have been causing Mr. Destang so much trouble, if we have to spray paraquat on the bootleg fields in Mexico that have been causing the Mexicans so much problem, then I think I can take a little cyanide in my wine, as my dear friends can take a little paraquat.
Well, sir, will the National Health Insurance Program cover this nerve damage?
Well, I wish I had my national health advisor with me, but unfortunately I told him to write a script for a new national health coverage, and instead he wrote a script for one of the young girls in the White House, and I'm afraid I really won't be able to make any comment on that right now.
Mr. President, I'm Scotty Fester from the New York Times. You fielded a wide variety of questions this evening. Perhaps you could answer this one. What character and in what serial did Leonard Nimoy make his first movie appearance?
Let me see. I believe that was as Luno, in Zombies of the Stratosphere.
Mr. President, Rick Ranger here from the Towels Times. Mr. President, I have a question which I feel lies unspoken in the hearts of every American. Can you tell us who played third base for Chattanooga in the Triple I League during the 30s?
Was that Bunky Benson from?
Mr. President, I'm afraid it was Briar Rose, Pete Rose's father, who I believe set a league record by going 38 games without a hit.
Thank you very much.
I think that's about it, Mr. President. Thank you very much. Thank you all. See you at the gaming table. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Hal Stark. You know, the other evening when I was walking down my street, which could be your street, I noticed that the Salvation Army had pulled one of its trucks up in front of my neighbor's house, and a small group of men and elderly women in their dark blue uniforms were standing on the lawn, surrounding the place. "Your couch or your life," they shouted. And soon, Luther Knuckler, my neighbor, who could be your neighbor, appeared at the front door, dragging his Davenport out onto the flagstone walkway. The assembled Salvation Army members then hoisted it onto the truck and drove away into the night, which could be your night. Well, I'm kidding, of course, but perhaps you, like me, understand the meaning of my simple story. We all have a couch somewhere, in the attic, in the family room, in the basement, or the servants' quarters, and it could only be really valuable to you if it were full of cocaine. Of course it's not. Unless my son Brad, who I wish was your son, is actually a drug dealer and hiding his goods there, which he is. And what about the politicians? The ones standing on my front lawn, which is your front lawn, demanding to be our president. Some of them have sons, except for Bush, who has ghosts, and Reagan, who's old enough to be my father. But I doubt greatly if any of them ever had to throw their couches out the window. So, how can they know my problems, which might be your problems too? That's why they create their own problems, big problems, impersonal problems, and problems that affect us all. Problems that make a couch dragged out to the front of a lawn seem very unimportant indeed, unless it's yours. Anyway, that's my opinion, and it could be your opinion too. This is Hal Stark.
Hello and howdy, goodbye, hello over and over and over again. This is Jimmy Clicker from Hollywood with a Hollywood Political Lowdown. The show that's the first with the foremost and a lot of other hype that's opened this show since 1939, causing me to believe you've heard it all before, so what? Well, doesn't the duck ever get it? Not one delegate vote counted yet for Republican presidential candidate Daffy Duck of California. The prestigious LA Times last week reporting in depth how Duck lies to suit his purposes. How the so-called facts he spouts at press conferences were written by Hollywood screenwriters with their backs to the wall in small offices over dingy typewriters pursued by debts and their foundering youth. It's sad. But not as sad as the way Duck reacted to the ill-fated, he refused to say aborted, rescue attempt of the American hostages in Iran, by President Carter. He wept and gnashed his teeth in front of reporters. His teeth are still embedded in the front of that Nash Rambler. And the owner's pretty mad. That's nothing for Duck. He leaves parts of himself everywhere in this crazy campaign. Now let's take a minute to talk about your eternal soul. You know, I'm not sure if I or you have one, but it's plain to see the political candidates do. Did you know that John Anderson was a secret born again? Did you know that President Wappler was a Mooney? Did you know that Jimmy Carter is a practicing Hasidic Jew? Did you know that Ted Kennedy has a direct phone hookup with a man in Italy who has a big hat? These and other facts are available to you in this special offer, the Golden Book, Big Little Lives of the Presidential Candidates, with pre-torn out pages to make keeping up interesting. Read about George Bush. Is he a cannibal? Or are those just monkey bones on his plate? Are Laverne and Meathead both planning to marry a diet doctor, then murder him? Is Suzanne Summers morally responsible for the pictures people take of her? These and many other tricky issues are unabashedly examined and interspersed with large pictures of undressed minor TV stars of indeterminate sex. Get it? You already want it. Page 2. Nothing left to say. So until next time, this is Jimmy Clicker with a Hollywood lowdown on politics, with the bestest and the fastest show above the equator, below the line, around the town. Ah, to hell with it. You've heard it all already.
It happened to him.
Oh, Raz, I have lust in my mind for you.
Oh, is that your mind?
And it's dripping into other parts of my body.
Oh, Jimmy, no. My mother will never let me marry you. You look too young and naive.
Raz.
And it could happen to you. Yes, Jimmy Carter nearly lost the love of his life because he looked like a mere boy. But he knew what to do. He used Ajax, the miracle job that puts years on your face without any perceptible appreciation from your constituency. Ajax comes in two convenient offices: extra strength presidency, guaranteed to make you an old man overnight, and backup strength vice presidency, with timed release action that takes a little longer but brings the same devastating results. And now, Ajax comes in the handy Secretary of State disposable size. Use it up, throw it away, and grab a new one off the shelf before anyone notices. Ajax, from the people who brought you the infinitely insoluble problems of the 20th century. So if you want to start attracting the people who like people who look like they've gone through hell, sign up for an important position in public service or diplomacy, and let Ajax do the rest.
And now, Campaign Chronicles presents Advice to the Candidates, important letters that ask really stupid questions. And here's the first one. Isn't there anything that a poor schlemiel like me can do to influence this election? I mean, to put it another way, is there anything a poor schlemiel like me can do to influence this election? Signed, Paul Schlemiel, Fresno, California.
Oh, there is. Yes, there is. No, there isn't. Or to put it another way, there are many things you can do if you are sincere. You could try to influence me, for example. Send me money. That'll do it. If you don't want to do that, you could stay by the phone in the hopes that a pollster will call you. This happened to me recently on Saturday. Thousands of phone calls came to me asking my opinion of garbage compactors and Japanese musicians and such. Then a political pollster called. Now, when it happens to you, tell him what I told him Saturday. No Japanese musician or politician is going to be elected president in this country in 1980. You can bet it. Tell him my age only in round numbers. When I do it, I ask to speak to their supervisor if they cough or sneeze. I am evasive and mumble over hard questions with big words or implications of foreign policy. I pretend frequently that I am a Mexican. This confuses pollsters, especially if you casually mention that you do not have a Spanish surname, but are named O'Rourke or Yamamoto or something flashy and not typically Mexican. They then do not know what category you are to be placed in. Your vote counts, but not you. Do not lie, but certainly do not tell the truth. Be like me. Try to be average. Incidentally, many Mexicans are. Be proud of your heritage.
Our next letter. Am I crazy, or is that Ronald Reagan running for the presidency? Is this a bad dream? Signed, John Cocteau, Paris, Texas.
Yes and no, although it's important what order they're in. The yes and the no, that is. If you are crazy, and maybe you are, then I would say that Ronald Reagan is not running. If he is, you are in the clear and can accept federal employment or high-paying work as a stuntman or federal aviation inspector. In other words, you're about as crazy as Jimmy Carter. And he knows Ronnie's running.
The next question comes from ex-Long Beach Naval Hospital. Question, what about Ford?
Oh, that's a very, very good one. Good cars, especially those 57 Fairlanes, two-tone with those cherry taillights and that kind of sweeping design in the rear end. Tasteful, yet swift. Would not make as good a president, however, as a smaller Japanese car or musician.
We'll be back again, perhaps, with more questions and less answers.